Peggy Hinckley is at ease when she describes what's at stake for the Gary Community School Corporation and herself.
If I'm not successful, it would mean that the district is, I don't know what they would do. I guess they have no other options but to dissolve it. And, you know, I certainly don't want that to be the period on my career.
I'm sitting with Hinckley in her sparse, quiet office. The district's headquarters is just a few hundred feet away from one of the city's 28 abandoned schools. Decades of decline in population and industry have dragged down the district's enrollment and state funding.
First of all, anything anyone would have told me about it, it was much worse than I would have expected.
The district is more than $100 million in debt. It owes utility companies. It owes the IRS. More than 80% of students failed the annual state test. And this week, state officials alleged cheating on those tests at one school. The state gave Hinckley and her management team a 2-year contract to make major fiscal and academic improvements. But she knows many expect changes faster.
So we have to produce, and we have to produce in a year.
Since August, Hinckley has chipped away at overspending. So far, she's saved more than $2 million, but it's nowhere near enough. Her proposal for bigger cuts, including teacher layoffs and school closures, will be announced this week. She expects many to be angry.
But again, our survival depends on it.
But amid the turmoil, Hinckley has brought some welcome changes to the classroom. Principal Charmaine McKinley is showing me around Williams Elementary School.
Yes, it's the restroom. And that's Ms. Davis, fourth grade teacher.
Hello. Hi.
McKinley remembers how she felt when the state took over the district.
Thank you. We need help. So if somebody could come in and do something different than what we had, I mean, it couldn't hurt. I mean, we were already, like, screaming for help. So I had an open mind.
Until the takeover, McKinley says, the math and reading books were 10 years old.
We didn't even write in the books because we knew we weren't ever getting them. So that means a copy machine. Then the copy machine broke down. So we had teachers going out and paying for copies, buying copy machines for the classrooms. You would have thought we was little kids in the candy store to get supplies for our kids. That was a milestone.
But a bigger problem was the district had no office in place to set the curriculum. The school board had gotten rid of it.
So we asked other districts. They went out and asked who can loan us something so we can have a roadmap.
Now, teachers are required to follow Hinckley's own method for student improvement. It combines student data, regular assessments, and remediation. It's not groundbreaking, but it's never been done in Gary. And McKinley says it's working.
With those curriculum maps that they gave us, we could pinpoint for 3 weeks on something, then we test, and then we break up into success groups. That is wonderful because we haven't had a curriculum in so long.
Back at the emergency manager's office, Hinckley says if academics improve, more families will want to come back to the district, and that will mean more state funding.
When I was a young girl in school in Gary, it was probably 30,000, 40,000 children. Now we're down to about 4,700.
Today, more than 60% of the K-12 students who live in Gary have chosen to attend a charter school or nearby city school instead of the district. A key to turning around the district, Hinckley says, is figuring out what the right size should be.
I do think that all of our folks understand the urgency that our life is on the line in Gary.
For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Eric Weddle.